Won't you forgive? Won't you forget? Do as I ask you to. I'll never let you regret. Just start anew. You know I'm sorry. Oh, so sorry. Don't cry, baby. There's no one but you.
For landmark exposure in Sunset Vistas.
I tested negative for Sunset Vistas?
Also, your pine needle numbers are almost anemic. And in my 30...
Never let me go. Love me much too much if you let me go. Life would lose its touch. What would I be without you? There's no place for me without you. Never let me go. I'd be so lost if you went away. There'd be a thousand hours in the day. Without you, I know. Because of one caress, my world was overturned. At the very start, all my bridges burned. By my flaming heart, you'd never leave me, would you? You couldn't hurt me, could you? Never let me go. Never let me go. Never let me go. I'd be so lost if you went away. There'd be a thousand hours in the day. Without you, I know. Because of one caress, my world was overturned.
Good evening. I'd like to call the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting to order. And can we all start with the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll go with roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner McGulpin.
Here.
Commissioner Rodriguez is absent. Commissioner West.
Here.
And Vice Chair Warner.
Here.
Okay.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the public forum portion of the meeting. If there's anyone who would like to speak on an item that's not officially on the agenda, now is your time. And I don't see anyone.
I have no speaker slips.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we will go ahead to the first item, which is item A1, and the Parks and Recreation Manager, Mrs. Plummer, you're going to introduce that item.
I am. Thank you, Vice Chair Werner. Commissioners, this evening, it is my pleasure to have Mark Wilkerson here with the Santa Barbara Trails Council. We've talked a little bit with some of the commissioners at the California Park and Recreation Society Conference about a program that is making its way around here locally. And Commissioner West actually attended a session that Mr. Wilkerson had facilitated at the Parks and Recreation Conference and brought it before staff and asked us to look into it. So we did. And Mark Wilkerson is here to share a little bit about this program. We're not making any decisions on it. It's just an information item for you. And without further ado, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Wilkerson.
Thank you. Commissioner Hart, fellow commissioners, as Joanne introduced me, I'm Mark Wilkinson with the Santa Barbara County Trails Council. And if you're not familiar with our organization, it was founded over 50 years ago to protect and maintain hundreds of miles of trails all across Santa Barbara County for all types of recreation activities. But today we're doing a lot more than that, and today's presentation is exemplary of that. About 3 years ago, we started a program called Healthy People, Healthy Trails. And it started out with a gentleman named Rich Rojas, who is a former City of Goleta Parks Recreation Commissioner, who sent me an email and said, "Hey, Mark, I think you might be interested in this." And I read it over, and it was from the National Park Service talking about a program called Healthy Parks, Healthy People. And I thought, this is kind of interesting. I started doing a little bit of research and found out that, like, the Board of Supervisors had commissioned a health study for the county, and reading more literature about health and recreation and outdoors, and saw that, oh, this would be really good for our community. But, you know, how do you get started? And in that article was something about the National Park Service offering support. So I called them up, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we're supporting this program. All you need is a health partner." And I'm thinking, would that be like Cottage Hospital or Sansom Clinic, you know, with thousands of employees? And we're this little tiny nonprofit. How is that going to work? Well, got very, very lucky. And after some initial conversations, it turned out that Sansom Clinic was very interested in this program. And so we applied for the grant, and we're very successful. We got a 2-year technical grant that's hands-on service from the National Park Service that doesn't include any money. But experts from the National Park Service came to Santa Barbara once a month to facilitate us getting this program started. And before I go into a lot of detail, I'd like to show you a little video. And they'll sort of set the tone.
You sit down, Marvin. Please.
Okay.
Look, there's no easy way to say this, but your nature levels are low.
My nature levels?
Yes, you tested negative for hiking, negative for landmark exposure, and sunset vistas.
I tested negative for sunset vistas?
Also, your pine needle numbers are almost anemic. And in my 35 years of practice, I've never seen someone with camping scores lower than you.
Oh my gosh, I hate camping.
I know you do, but we gotta change that, okay?
Okay, okay. Am I gonna
live indoors the rest of your life? No. In fact, I'll tell you what. I'm going to write you a prescription for the national parks.
All right.
There's a lot of stuff you can do there. They got, you know, animals, bears. You'll love it. Anyway, they got coastlines, grasslands, history, culture. Right away, you're going to notice that your NELs are going to bounce right back, dude.
My NELs?
Nature engagement levels.
Right.
So I'd like to go to the next slide and just point out that we have a very simple agenda. It's compact. And first, I'm going to sort of talk about the program in a national context and then step over to the program that we're doing here in Santa Barbara County. How do I advance? Oh, okay. Next. So this statement's something that most people would agree with, And the problem is that it's difficult to accomplish. Just because the recreation community agrees and the healthcare community agrees, there's no glue that naturally holds them together. And so that's part of the reason that we're offering the Healthy People, Healthy Trails program, is to act as that bridge. Next slide. So on one hand, you have the healthcare community that's identified that half of the deaths in Santa Barbara County are caused by chronic illnesses. And you know what they are. They're stroke, a heart attack, type 2 diabetes, and their literature is full of information about how to address these issues. You know, improve diet, fewer smoking, stop smoking, and what really stands out is more physical activity. And so they talk about all this, but then you look at, well, what are they doing? And, you know, their hospitals, clinics, they don't have the ability to produce that activity as part of, you know, they can analyze it, they say it's a good thing, but they can't execute. And then you have the recreation community that has all these resources that are free to access that provide the activity that's missing from this prescription for a healthier lifestyle, but they're not connected to the healthcare community. So our program is acting to bring those together. The Healthy Parks, Healthy People program was initiated back in 2000 in Australia. And 10 years later, the National Park System got on board and started promoting it. And they're a champion of what they call the park prescription program as a way to get things going. Next. So here's just a little bit of an outline. And in 2014, we applied for assistance, got a two-year grant, spent 2015 and 16 developing the pilot program. And then we've launched our initial program here in the South Coast, and we just received a grant a couple weeks ago to expand into Lompoc and the San Ynez Valley. Next. So one of the great things is that we're not starting from scratch. There are model programs all over the country, at least 100 or more, and they're all different. They in Albuquerque, they have a lot of parks, and their walking cycle is around the perimeter of parks. I'm kind of like shocked, but that's how they approached it. If you go to the Bay Area, there's a national park there, and the program's driven by the healthcare community. And up in, in Cape Cod, it's driven by the healthcare community. But up in the Bay Area, it's more driven by the parks and recreation community. And so each one's at a different phase of tying the healthcare and the recreation community together. I think we're doing a real good job, and I'll explain it as we go forward. This is San Ynez Valley, and a group of people enjoying a walk outdoors. Next slide. So here's a test. Which of the following are relevant as health imperatives for physical activity? You don't read too long, because they all are. And this is a, you know, not something we made up, but if you pay attention to the literature in the New England Magazine of Health, they talk about these topics all the time, and you search the literature, it's huge. But it's so much information, it's hard to get your hands around it. Next. So this is the mission statement that we developed for our program. And what you'll notice is that we're focusing on land management agencies, which is parks and recs, county parks, national forests, as well as healthcare providers, ranging from cottage hospital down to neighborhood and Indian clinics, and then community partners, organizations that you start looking around and you find a lot of them sponsoring walks and hikes that aren't, you know, in the business, church organizations, different groups like that. So there's a lot of interest in getting outside. And so we're trying to tie all of these together so they work cohesively. And then the goal is to outreach to community members at large to bring those into the fold that are maybe a little less likely to take part in physical activity and maybe need a nudge or a little friend to bring them along. Next. The mountains behind my house before they burnt. So our steering committee is composed of representatives from Sansom Clinic, Cottage Health, the City of Santa Barbara Parks and Rec, SenCal Health, and we also have local community members such as Pat Forgey, who happens to live here in Goleta, and she's a former healthcare administrator, facilitator, and a strategic planner. And so, you know, getting these kind of people involved really makes a difference, as well as the expertise that these groups bring. Really nice place to walk up on the Gaviota Coast. So one of the first things we did is put together a prescription for exercise. And, you know, since I was a little kid, doctors have said, hey, you need some more exercise, you need to play. But they never wrote a prescription for it. They just told you, because you couldn't go to the pharmacy and get a pill to fulfill that. So we're doing this in Spanish and English, and we made a presentation to the doctors at Sansom Clinic and said, you know, what do you think? And we analyzed what they were doing all over the country, and we thought we had wired in. And the doctor says, well, why are you doing that? We've got this medical health record system. Why don't you just put it in the medical health care record? And so suddenly, you know, the IT department is changing everything. And so if you go in to Sansom Clinic, there's a model program that doesn't exist anywhere else in the country where they can write a prescription for exercise. It's part of your medical record. And because of their MyCharts program, you can interact with your doctor. And I'll tell you a story if I have time. Next. Next. So in addition to creating a prescription for exercise that doctors can deliver, or a therapist or a physical therapist, we decided that we needed to focus on easy hikes, because we want people to get started and get out of the, you know, out into nature and enjoy it. And so we created a series of maps that are much different than you'd find in a typical hiking book. They're in color. We have photographs of what to expect. On the right side, there's bulleted pointed details of things that you might be interested in if you're a beginning walker or hiker. You know, is there shade? Are there benches? Can I bring my dog? And then we have information on things to do, amenities, what to expect, and directions, and then the agency that's managing it. And we're doing these in Spanish and English. So if you get a prescription, when you come out to the desk, you get a set of maps and some information to go with it. So we're fulfilling the prescription through our MAP program. Next. So we're focusing on, you know, easy, hard surface walks and trails that are good for beginners in your neighborhood. And as we go forward, we'll, you know, expand them. We started with walks that were in the 2 to 3 mile range, and the doctors came back and said, oh, I need you to give us something longer. So, you know, we thought they'd want shorter. They're asking for longer. So these kind of things, you know, we're learning and adapting as we go. Next. The third leg of our program is to bring together all the community organizations that are offering walks and hikes in our community. And so here's a sampling of them. Just 2 weeks ago, caught up with the Botanic Gardens, and they have a free hike every month for seniors, as well as paid hikes. And so we're going to bring them into our calendar. But if you visit the Healthy People, Healthy Trails website, you'll find 20 hikes that are listed for this month for a wide range of organizations. And they're not all easy hikes, but you can see where you can graduate and say, oh, I'd like to go there. And, you know, how do I get there? Well, I improve my walking skills and get healthier, and then I can participate in those activities. And also the group activities make it easier to get out because you're not by yourself and so forth. At the bottom there, it mentioned National Park RX Day, and this is an annual event that this year Board of Supervisor for the 3rd District, Joan Hartman, sponsored a hike out at Barone Ranch. And usually you'll see two or three cars out there because it's 20 miles out that way. When I got there at 9 o'clock, wanting to get a Primo parking spot, there were 13 cars there that people had already taken off. Another 40 cars showed up, lined themselves up. And so having her sponsoring six hikes, Healthy People, Healthy Trails hikes throughout the year, has been a really boon to our program. And so it's that kind of interaction between health, recreation, government, nonprofits that's driving this program. Next. So the real takeaway is that we're making it easy for organizations to do what they want to do, whether it's healthcare, outdoor recreation, or community members, taking away obstacles, providing encouragement, and it was difficult for the doctors to write a prescription because they didn't have a way to do it. We've eliminated that. It's difficult for you to find out what's the Sierra Club and Audubon's doing and make a calendar. We have a combined calendar, so you can see everything. And then we have a program where both healthcare and recreation are interacting. Next. This is our website. We're lucky that we live here in Santa Barbara. We have 365-day a year opportunities to be outdoors. We have great resources, and I'm really pleased that this program has moved as far along as it has. And I'll just give you, do I have a minute left? So I'm out campaigning all the time to promote this. And when I started my first speeches, somebody raised their hand in the audience, and they said, but isn't that where the wild things are? And I was sort of taken back. Because maybe a month earlier, somebody said, well, you must have been a free-range kid. And I'm thinking, okay, free-range chicken, free-range kid. And in fact, I was. When I was in third and fourth grade, our backyard was the Flint River, and my mom said, be home at 5. And so if I got hungry, we climbed a tree and ate apples that were just growing in the forest, came home dirty, had dinner, and next day out again. And so that's how I grew up. But I didn't realize that other people don't grow up that way. And for them to go out into the wilderness or out of the city urban environment, it's a little bit threatening. And we had an event last year for Latino Conservation Week, and Graciela came with about 25 people. And we had a circle, and they went around. And it was amazing. I'm here because my cousin asked me to go. I've never done anything like this before. I'm here because I was curious what was out there. Almost half the group had never been up a trail like Rattlesnake or San Ysidro. They had lived their life in a different area. And it was just like eye-opening for me because I drank the Kool-Aid when I was this tall, and other people haven't had a chance to experience that. My last story is I'm pitching to my doctor a month ago and thinking, if I can get my doctor to prescribe more prescriptions, it'll look good on the books, we'll have better statistics. And so I'm talking to him, and I said, hey, look, we got this new bookmark in Spanish and English, and you can get out to the patients. And I'm telling him about how well things were doing. And he says, Mark, your blood pressure is about 10 points higher than it was last time. I'm going to give you a prescription to lose 10 pounds. And lo and behold, I came out to the desk. There it was all printed out. They gave me a pack of maps. And I said, well, I've got those. And what's even strange is I'm now, whenever I go on a long hike, I drop a note to him. When I look at the donut shop, God, the doctor wouldn't want me to eat that donut, would he? And so I'm being influenced by the fact that the doctor gave me a prescription when I thought it wouldn't make a difference, but it's in the back of my head. So anyway, that's kind of in a nutshell all we're doing. I'd be glad to answer some questions. Daryl?
Yes. First of all, I wanted to say that I sat in that huge conference room at the convention in Long Beach and was very impressed by the presentation that you made along with the woman from the City of Santa Barbara Parks and Recreation Department. Mm-hmm. And I was very excited and came back and told Mrs. Plummer about it. So what I wanted to ask of you is if you had a little vision. I would very much like to see in the very near future that the City of Goleta Parks and Recreation Commission have our logo up there on the screen, that we're a partner in this. Mm-hmm. What would you see that the City of Goleta would be doing perhaps differently than the City of Santa Barbara? Or what would your vision be in a dream world of a collaboration with us?
Well, it's... I think just saying we support the program is huge. I mean, just that alone, without any, you know, cash expenditure, any time. And then when we're doing a map making program, it's just something that would make it easier to, you know, what we found in our maps is that you'll look at an area and there's, you know, trails going everywhere. But you might say, well, if you're just starting out, you want to go this way, skip over there. And so we create a custom map that shows the best route to start. And then, you know, natural curiosity will take someone elsewhere. So support for that part of the program. I'm sure that there are organizations in town here that are taking, I think there's like a walk with a cop program somewhere that was taking people out on the Elwood Bluffs. And, you know, I don't know where that's going on, but it's like, oh, that program should be part of the Healthy People, Healthy Trails. And it might be that you just alert us to it, because it's amazing all the things that are going on. There's a the housing, City of Santa Barbara Housing had a program of walks and hikes for about a year. So, you know, if somebody hadn't told us about it, we wouldn't know. So I think just sort of that information exchange would be more than enough. And, you know, as a fledgling city, what I find interesting is that, like, you don't have programs today that would fit into this, but it doesn't mean 5 years from now you wouldn't, or 3 years or 2 years. With your all that you're doing to study, you know, recreation in this community, the report that was put out a couple years ago now, it listed the word trails 123 times. So there's a real pent-up interest in trails, and I think the two will come together. I don't think I can write the prescription, excuse the pun, for it today, but I think it's just that general support.
Okay, I see Commissioner Hart.
Thank you. Oh, no. Wrong button. thank you for that presentation, Mark. That's very informative. You know, I hear all of the media talking about the public health crisis. We have a decline in life expectancy for the first time in a generation or two. I just love the fact that you're tying all of these things together and giving people a central location. The calendar of events sounds great. That's, I assume, through the website. Is that correct? But to further the efforts in getting this information out to the people, what kind of media outreach and what kind of efforts are you making to alert people to this, besides through the doctors? Because, I mean, I have to admit, I haven't been to the doctor in 5 years. So, you know, that's a great start. But how else are we getting this information out to the public?
Well, truth be told, we've been bootstrapping this program. You know, we needed translations. The City of Santa Barbara stepped up. We needed a website. Trails Council stepped up. And we're just at that point. We meet once a month, and we're a really strong group. And we are applying for grants in order to create a fund of money so that we can hire that expertise to go out and have a marketing campaign. Because this is truly just an outreach campaign. We're not you know, we're not going to build a park and we're not going to build a clinic. We're just going to pull things together. And so, you know, an opportunity, a letter of support for a grant, you know, if we were to get it from the city or the Parks and Rec Department, that would be very, very helpful. Sort of late in the game, we realized that we needed the calendar of events because all these things were happening, but people didn't know about it. And so I think that's a really important component. And so we just need to promote it.
Any other questions? Okay, I have a couple. Do you know, are there any maps of trails in Goleta that are being handed out right now?
We have a map of part of Lake Los Caneros.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking would be one. As you were talking, I was thinking, I was wondering if you did any sort of trail maintenance, but I'm hearing that the answer to that is probably no.
Well, as Trails Council, we have a decade of history of doing trail maintenance for the city of Goleta. And actually, I was out on Lake Los Caneros 2 weeks ago, and we're looking at, we have a small grant from the city to analyze a sort of an improved accessible walk. And we found an area where there's a bend in the trail that needed a lot of work, but that was like 10% of the whole loop. There's just some real critical areas, like where you come off the bridge towards Stowhouse, be a little steep for somebody that's not fully ambulatory or you know, was maybe walking with walking sticks or a cane. But by and large, in spite of the unusual weather we've had, that most of the dirt trail is very, very solid, needs hardly any work. And maybe the big issue is the tarmac that's along Stowhouse that, you know, goes out towards the lake. That's pretty torn up. And we'll be making a proposal that will, you know, give a few options on how to deal with that area. So it's just sort of we're doing a survey and a proposal. We don't have funding, but it's just a start so that the planning department can say yay or nay or make some improvements. So we're really grateful to get a grant from the city to just analyze that loop to make an accessible route, which if it was accessible and not necessarily ADA compliant, but relatively flat and hard surface most of the year, except for when it rains, it would be helpful for this kind of program because a lot of people would use it. It has all the requirements for being a really great trail, wildlife, scenic area, water. You know, that's why people go there. But, I mean, it's right off the highway, and people don't know it's there in the broader sense of the community. So I think it's a real jewel in the city's park system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been out there and I've seen especially older folks walking with canes, and there is that one section that's really hard has a lot of rocks and stuff on. It's hard to get to the walkway around the lake where the benches are. So I know what at least that section that you're talking about. Then the last question I had was, do you do follow-ups with the doctors? Are they seeing people lose weight? Are they seeing people's blood pressure come down? Is there, you know, can you brag about numbers?
We're capturing numbers. The health education director has access to statistics within Sansom Clinic. And so we're poised to get that information. But I think we're a little early in the game. We have a commitment to a county program that will supply data for 100 prescriptions or 100 doctors' prescriptions, something like that, by 2020. So we just need a little bit of a window to collect that information.
Thank you. Let's see. Ruth, go ahead.
Thank you. Great presentation. I have a question, though, for you. How about engaging the schools? As a PE teacher at El Camino Elementary School, you know, we work partnership with Coast. providing like the bike rodeos and the learning how to ride bikes for people at El Camino. I just was thinking here, you know, how about offering this as a PE component, coming into the schools, talk about hiking, and then actually get the kids on a bus and going to some place to hike, especially kids at El Camino where they don't have that opportunity, because a lot of them do come from Old Town Goleta. So that's just, you know, working with the nurses or the principals at the schools, and with partnership with Coast, I think that it could be something that could be special for engaging the PE students.
Well, the short answer is yes. We're partnering with Coast. They were looking for a dietitian to go walk with them on a trail. We managed to find one to, you know, combine that health and activity level. And one of the times, maybe 3 years ago, I came to a meeting here and a woman got up and was talking about the school, one of the schools that's north of Lake Los Caneros, that they had a PE program where they're going to walk 100 miles a year for the students. And she said, we need somewhere else to walk that's got you know, quarter mile markers so the students can keep track of, you know, how far they're getting along, because they're tired of going around the fence at the school to, you know, build their mileage. And that was really motivating to me to see what was going on at that level, and that there was a missing component of being more fun. And so all these things can come together. And next time I talk to people at Coast, I'll bring up your idea, and you might read about it in the newspaper.
Okay, Commissioner West?
Yes, I wanted to piggyback on the comments about Stowe House and the walk from the parking lot where the firehouse is to the lake. That is a very challenging route if you want to go from parking your car to make it to the dam dinner a few nights. Well, it's really only one night each year, but nonetheless, I have done the Audubon Society bird walk on that same path. And I did not know that there might be a chance that that can be properly repaved. I've been with older women who, it's just, you know, a very disastrous walk to get from your car over there. And if there's anything that as a group we could do to help, you know, petition for that, I would be in huge favor of that.
Well, let me just leave it at this. It's a very interesting space. And if you start looking around, you'll find a curb maybe 20 feet to the lakeside of the paved area. So at one time, it was much wider. And there's just some overgrowth and things like that. So I think, you know, a little bit of analysis from kind of an outside point of view. And then, of course, Public Works and planning and all those, you know, people will come together and figure out what's best. You know, the fire department wants a surface that's good for them. And all those things, you know, if it's put on the table, it can be solved. And I don't think funding would be a problem, you know, grassroots community funding, just because it's such a great place. And but, you know, you need a plan. From the plan, you raise the money. And so that's kind of, we're just trying to light the match to get the process going.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. That was a very interesting presentation, and I think it's got a lot of future ideas and projects.
Okay, well, thank you again for listening to us and for the opportunity, to hopefully in the future, to have a partnership. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to item A2, and that would be the city clerk, Mrs. Lopez.
Yes, I just wanted to go ahead and fill you all in. Good evening, Vice Chair and Commissioners. You may know that last night the City Council acknowledged Jose Tulis, the student commissioner, for his time served on the Parks and Recreation Commission. And we are aware that Ann Lynn has moved over to the Planning Commission. That leaves two vacancies on the Parks and Recreation Commission. It hasn't been that we haven't had anybody apply for the position, because this commission is very, very, everybody wants to be on it. So we do have two applicants for the student commission position, and we have two applicants for the commissioner position. We've been trying to get it on the council's agenda, but we've been, and because we have to have it in the evening due to the student commission commissioner and interview time, it's the council's agenda has been pretty weighty lately, if you've watched any of the meetings lately. So it is scheduled for July 17th, the evening session, and we'll go ahead and hold those interviews at that time and then make it to your August meeting. And at that meeting, then we'll look to go ahead and do the chair, vice chair, and get that taken care of as well. So with that, I don't know if you have any questions.
Yes, Commissioner. That was from the last item. Okay, I guess there are no questions.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that moves us down to the consent calendar, item B1. Again, the city clerk, Mrs. Lopez.
Yes, and that is
for the approval of the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes of April 4th. And as I mentioned before the meeting started, there is one page where there's an amendment to a motion made there. So if the commission wishes to approve, it'll be approved as amended.
Okay, great. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
Yes, I vote. I move that we approve the minutes of our last meeting as noted.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. The motion passes.
Okay, we're on to C1 then. And that is Community Center Park Parcel Design and Cost Options.
And that is the Parks and Recreation Manager, Mrs. Plummer.
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Werner. So, very exciting things happen with all of our parks, and tonight we're here to discuss the park parcel that is located behind the Goleta Valley Community Center. As you may recall, back in February of 2017, we asked the City Council if we could apply for a grant from the state of California to refurbish this area. We were real excited because our grant allocation with all the bonus potential was over $500,000. So we were really excited about what opportunities that could mean for us. So we applied for the grant. We were noticed in July and actually received confirmation of the award in October of 2017. And I don't have a PowerPoint that goes along with the report. I just put the images that were in your packet on here so we can have them on the big screen to see. This one is not in your packet. It's the current condition of the site. And I have Vito's little pointer here. So
it
this
looks
is
good
the
from afar.
It must have been taken in the winter when there's been lots of rain. So some of the, if you walk out to the location, there's a few things that really made this area in desperate need of renovation, and that was the gophers. That's the number one priority. The gophers come up from the creek and really have a party pretty much every day in this location. So it's very uneven. And the grass turf actually goes all up to the fence line all around here in all these areas, which makes maintenance very time consuming. So currently the community center staff are responsible for the day-to-day maintenance of mowing. And that area needs to be mowed and edged by hand. And they actually take out a hand mower in that area because it's so uneven in so many different places. The grass goes all the way up to the creek area over here. And again, just all along the fence line. This is a little sidewalk. And then this is the basketball courts and the tennis courts. And then right along here, my hand's not very steady, is a little bit of a culvert. So there's a little bit of a a decline where the water drains right into the culvert and down into the creek. So as the one thing that's really challenging if you go out there is right next to the Boys and this is the Boys and Girls Club, and then there's a beautiful line of trees, and they have some picnic tables under here that the kids gather on right before the culvert. But right about this location, there's a set of double doors, and when the kids come out, they run out those double doors, run right up the hill, and there's a great wear pattern in the turf. So when it is rainy, it's really muddy in that location, and so when we were looking at what our potential was in funding, I was getting really excited, thinking maybe we could do something to level the area and really guide the instruction, maybe put in some steps and something else. So when we received our notification of award, we were under $300,000. We actually received just over $269,000. And so we entered into a contract with a design firm, RRM, and we walked the area with our consultant, and he went back and crunched some numbers, took everything into consideration. Our number one concern was safety. Second was one of the primary concerns outside of trails was open active areas for recreation in Goleta, and specifically in Old Town. As you know, that we have no schools in Old Town, so where a lot of parts of town, if there's not a park that has a lot of open grass space, the kids can use the schools during non-school hours and use those turf areas. We don't have schools in Old Town, so we don't have any open turf areas. So this was really important for the kids to have a place to run and play soccer, play organized sports, unorganized activity, families to gather, play ball, fly kite, whatever they needed to do. And right now it's not good. So those were our priorities. Athletic space, the safety of everybody, and then just to maximize the opportunities for today and for tomorrow. So we want to look into the future. So RRM came back and they gave us a design, and we received the design, and I was a little bummed out, to lack of a better term, because it was very, very simplistic. And we talked about, well, what can we do? And the problem is it came down to money. So he provided me a cost estimate, and the cost estimates exceeded what we had received from the state. So we kind of went back to the drawing board, and the part that really made me nervous was the cost estimates only included hydro seed and did not include gopher wire. So gopher wire is going to be our best protector against having the field return to the state that it's currently in. And the reason being is we follow a creek right here. So there's not a lot that we can do. And being a zero pesticide agency, we really can't do a lot of treatment to gopher abatement. It's either catch them manually, which is a very staff labor intensive, or we try to keep them at bay with the use of items like gopher wire, which can be costly as well. So in this design, what you see is you see an outline. The white outline is not going to be permanently lined, but the white outline is an overlay of what an under 10 soccer field looks like. And in each section, so that's the whole thing for under 10s, but in each section right here, that would be what an under 6 age group would look like, so that you can actually have two U6 groups going at one time or one U10. There is no great big fencing right here. We have a small, maybe a 4-foot chain link to prevent the kids from running out and going up there and actually guiding them along the path to where the ground would level out. The cost is in the grading, because we have slope issues, having to have to redirect the water down into that culvert to go into the creek for drainage, but also to keep it so that you don't set a soccer ball on it and it starts just rolling down the hill by itself, because we want to be able to have not just practices, but potentially games in the future. All along the perimeter is a path that currently is listed as decomposed granite. It's a hard surface, and that will allow walking paths in line with our presentation this evening. This would be a nice loop, very easy loop for somebody to do. So the intent was twofold. One was to encourage people to get out and exercise and do more. The Boys and Girls Club could use it for the kids. The seniors at the community center could use it as a program. They could have a walking path. We would actually figure out how many loops it takes to walk a mile and things like that to get people to challenge themselves. If parents are there waiting for kids to be picked up from soccer, practice. They can actually be walking their siblings around and not just sitting in a car on their cell phones. The other thing that we did is we leveled out this area. Again, this is a maintenance area that becomes very tedious with the fencing and the trees in here. We saved all the trees, but we wanted to have a level area. And listed in there right now are fitness nodes like we have at Hollister Kellogg Park. So it's the outdoor gym equipment. We've also been working closely with the community center staff. And along the side where we have the sidewalk, we have the DG path. But we also put the DG path all the way around. Again, the focus there was to reduce maintenance and give it that clean look. And then give also kids that are walking around to go to the other side or even to the parking lot. It's a safe walking route, and they didn't feel like they were traipsing through grass. And then right here is a bocce court. So in speaking with the community center staff and just some different community members, one thing that was missing in town was a bocce court. And this would allow bocce to be taking place again as a senior activity during the day at the community center. Anybody bringing their bocce balls could be playing at any time. It would be free and accessible for the space. It will allow for a second bocce court in Goleta Old Town because we have one at Hollister Kellogg as well. But it also, again, reduces maintenance. So maintenance was a big concern. We are obligated as a city to maintain this site as a park use for the next 15 years. So I wanted to have some options for the commission to take a look at, see what we could do with this space. Again, this was minimum turf, and we could even accept this with or without the bocce court and the fitness nodes. But we asked for what would maximum be because we always want to look at all of our options. So this is the same image, maximizing the turf, giving us more green space. Where we see some additional spaces down here, we've actually extended the path to go right next to the Boys and Girls Club, their picnic tables. So it's a little bit closer to their facility so that when the kids come out on the path, they can go up closer. And then there's that fence that's set back by the culvert. So we would allow access to go all the way around the path yet again. It extends the path a little bit more, so it gives us a little bit more grass space. So when soccer's not happening, we just have more grass space there. And then that's all the options that we have for you. And the staff is recommending that we go with the maximum turf space, utilization of gopher wire, utilization of sod. And that's one thing I failed to mention earlier. The hydro seed was the less expensive option, but hydro seed has an extensive amount of time to grow and stay. We have to keep people off of the grass while it's growing, and it can add 8 to 12 weeks minimum to the project depending on what season we're planting the grass. And while we have to stay off the grass as well when we plant sod, it's less time, and it can reduce that time from 4 to 8 weeks, again depending on the season and how the weather is. And the construction timeline right now is estimated to be approximately 4 months. So we need to add that growth time on top of that 4 month period. And so because the Boys and Girls Club has 200 kids that are at their facility Monday through Friday, they also have additional children that are at the facility on Saturdays. We have a plethora of people that are through the community center. We have lots of families. I've been out there for meetings out on the turf, and I see families going out there, playing catch out there, and just visiting the space. And we really want to make sure, in my opinion, that if we're going to maximize our opportunities, that we need to make a facility that is going to be maintenance friendly, that is going to allow the maximum opportunity for turf, because again, we're not just programming for today. We are committed to this project for at least the next 15 years, and we want to see what we can do as we move into the future. So we also, as I mentioned earlier, the cost estimates did exceed the grant amount, but as the city passed their budget last night at, or yesterday afternoon at our city council meeting for the next year, There was also an allocation of park DIF that completes the gap that would allow us to go to that full capacity and allow us to use sod and allow us also to use the gopher wire. So as long as our cost estimates that come in when we bid the project, right now we are 100% full. So we have monies available to go to our maximum. So that is the staff's recommendation. So I'm available if you have any questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. I see we have questions here. Let's start with Commissioner McGulpin.
Thank you. A couple of things. How much would it have been if you had done the fake turf?
So artificial turf was something that we looked at in the very beginning if we thought we would have enough money. The problem with artificial turf is it's an unknown area for us right now. So we don't have an actual cost for that. We did not ask our vendor to look into that. We know that the infrastructure for the artificial turf is the most expensive part of installing artificial turf. That's the drainage system and everything that goes in underneath. The fact that we're right next to a creek could call into question some environmental impacts to the creek because of the product being whether we would choose a natural product or a synthetic product. So we actually did not ask our vendor to look into synthetic turf, and it wasn't because we didn't want synthetic turf, because we just know that cost-wise, it was very costly coming out the door just for the synthetic turf product alone, not to mention the construction to get to be there, the leveling and everything else that would have to take place. But the other problem is that this grant needs to be expended by June of 2019. And to explore the various products for synthetic turf and to get the buy-in from the commission, the city council, and the community to support this project, and it just wasn't in the timetable that we currently have with this particular project. We would have loved to put synthetic turf out there, but in speaking with other agencies that have done it, it's very, very costly coming out the door. And then there is every 10 years you have to replace the carpet on the turf, and that can be costly as well.
Then another couple questions. I noticed on that picture the lines were painted. I mean, is that something that, no?
No, that was just an overlay so that you can see that we can fit a U10 soccer field there.
And no goals will be provided? I mean, no.
No, we have no anticipation to provide any goals if we at this time. If we contract with, for example, AYSO, and they wanted to come out there and maybe temporarily store some goals out there, we would be open to those discussions.
And is there a chance if you could save money by eliminating the grass around the picnic tables? I mean, could you put another, because you said it gets muddy as they run out?
It gets muddy as they run out and run up the slope. So we are going to be putting a small little fence to direct them onto the path in either scenario.
Okay.
So that, again, safety is our number one concern. And whenever it does get a little bit muddy, because they're just wearing down the grass right mm-hmm. there. So to prevent that from happening and then to also keep them safe, we're just directing them onto the path to where it's easier to access the turf area.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Hart.
These two buttons just get me every time. Thank you for that presentation. I think that you've probably exhausted all of the assessments of this, so I just wanted to jump straight to the fact that I'd like to put my support behind the Max Turf proposal. I think this challenge with the gophers, I'm really reluctant to assume that gopher wire is going to work to the extent that we want it to, but you got to try to do something, and I hope that works. But anyway, I just wanted to put my support behind the Max Turf proposal.
For clarification, Commissioner Hart, is that the maximum turf with gopher wire and the amenities as listed in the recommendation?
Yes.
Thank you for the clarification.
Commissioner West?
I'm just confirming that was the second picture you showed us with the larger area near the picnic tables.
This one right here.
Yep. I love that.
Okay. I just have just wanted to confirm. I think I heard you say in the presentation that there will be no trees removed. Is that right?
Correct. At this point, there's no reason to remove any trees. We may have to trim some back just to fit equipment, but it would just be regular maintenance trimming.
Okay. And so there's no landscape plan that goes with this. It's because it's sod and everything else is staying the same.
Right. So we will have to have construction documents because of the leveling and the grading that's going to be required, but it's all simplistic. It's decomposed granite and sod.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And new irrigation as well is included in that.
Okay. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So we're looking at 8 months. Is that right? About 8 months where this field is going to be out of commission for the Boys and Girls Club?
At least 4 for construction, and then anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks for the sod to cure, because the recommendation is sod, and that's one of the biggest reasons is, and it will all depend on the weather and how the sod is reacting to establishing a root system.
Okay. So about 5 to 6 months. I was thinking, yeah, the 4 to 8 were months, but they're weeks.
And we have been in regular communication with the Boys and Girls Club. They have reviewed this design. They didn't have or express any concerns at the time that we met. And as soon as we do come up with a construction timeline, we'll be working directly with them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming there will be safety netting or that green screen that they usually put up when they're doing construction around the area so that the boys and girls know that it's off limits during the construction.
When we go out to bid, we'll be very clear in our communication to the potential bidders that there is a lot of activity around this site, and so safety would be the primary concern.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I had one more question. The gopher mesh, is it also good for squirrels? Because we have a huge problem at El Camino with the squirrels.
I would assume that it would be, but I can verify with our vendor because it'll depend on how tight the wiring is. And in some communities I've seen where they don't specify how tight the wire needs to be, the mesh needs to be, as well as they go with a very low-grade metal, and in some cases the gophers will actually eat it. So it's and thrive and cut holes in it. So it is important that you really focus on the product that you're putting in and you stay in tune with the latest and the greatest, because that system is continually changing as we learn and gophers challenge us. But I can check on squirrels for you.
Good. Thank you. Okay, great. I just want to offer up an opportunity for anyone in the public who might want to make any comments or on this project. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I covered that. And I think if there are no other questions, we're moving towards a motion. If someone wants to make a motion.
Sure, I'll make a motion. I move that we, let me see if I can get this correct, that we go with the staff recommendation of the maximum turf with amenities, design 3, utilizing sod and gopher mesh.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. And let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, great. It's another exciting park for the Old Town Goleta area.
I was just going to make the comment. It's too bad that we're doing this all at once. I was going to say, if you could just wait until the Hollister Kellogg Park was done, maybe some of the activity could move across the street, but you got a deadline of fund. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's too bad.
Okay. Okay, the next topic is project updates. And is that, Parks and Rec Manager, Mrs. Plummer?
Thank you, Vice Chair Werner. So we have been very busy, and we have lots of project updates for you tonight. And I'd like to start with Hollister Kellogg Park. This picture doesn't match the one you have. I wanted to surprise you. So Hollister Kellogg Park is off and rolling. Our notice to proceed was issued on May 21st of this year, and our groundbreaking ceremony was held on May 29th. The top picture on the right-hand side, we have a few commissioners that were present there. And then the bottom picture is the crowd that we had. We had a wonderful crowd there to witness history in the making, and we're real excited about it. The project is moving forward, and they're doing a great job. They're currently in the grading phase of the project and also the procurement of amenities. So we have reviewed so many things in the past week or so, and it's been fantastic. So just, you know, moving along. So we're hoping that we'll be able to share some pictures with you at our next meeting and share what's going on. And we're working on trying to establish a website so that people can see what the status is and where we're at. So we're working on that. We have to get through this first little hurdle, and then that way people can see the progress of the park so that we don't have a lot of looky-loos trying to climb over the fence. So that's Hollister Kellogg Park. The miscellaneous park improvements. So if you recall at our last meeting, we talked about how the city council had approved a type of surfacing to be used at these parks. So that was a huge step for us. So the next step that we've decided to do, because we have a fixed amount of money for the playground structures themselves, as well as the construction for ADA access to those playgrounds and any kind of renovation and shaping or irrigation that we have to do. So looking at the most fiscally responsible element to that, what we're going to be doing is purchasing the playground features before independent of the bid documents for construction and installation. And we're using a process that will allow us to get them at the lowest possible rate. And you'll be seeing more on that in the coming months at your next meeting as we do that. So we're working on the bid process for the equipment, and then it will be the bid process for the construction and installations. And we are hoping to schedule construction for all four of those parks to be completed this fiscal year. So I know it seems like it's been a long time, but if you really look at what we've done since we took this on, we went out to the community, we asked them for input in public meetings, we went back and then we did a survey, then we selected the type of equipment, then we had a lot of discussion on surfacing, and so we are moving forward, and I know that I would have loved to have already had our ribbon cuttings, but I think at the end of the day, we're going to be really excited with what the final outcome is on this. So stay tuned for more coming on that, and you're going to see some information if you're following our bid process. Reclaimed water service to Bella Vista and Evergreen Parks. So we've talked a little bit about this at a few other meetings, but currently we're in the preliminary design for both sites, and speaking with our Public Works Department, we have a rough plan of attack. We've opened all the conversations with all the entities that need to be in the loop, and currently we recently learned that we seem to be eligible for some funding through the Integrated Regional Water Management Program. So anywhere we can find additional funding, we turn those rocks over. So we're currently seeking those funds with that organization so that we can assist with some of those costs on both of those projects and reduce our impacts to our current funding cycle. The project priority is Bella Vista Park, both Bella Vista 1 and 2. And then once we have that taken care of at Bella Vista, then we'll be taking the line over to Evergreen Park. And then once Evergreen Park has their reclaimed water service, then the renovation of the multipurpose field can start. So we are working closely. The reclaimed water does not impact the installation of the bathroom, so that project is still moving forward as well. The community garden. So this has been exciting. We saw last fiscal year, this funding got pushed to the 18-19 fiscal year. So we are approved. We have $200,000 that we're working with for this project. And so right here, this big green space, this walkway is where we had our groundbreaking ceremony. This is the Hollister Park project right here. And so we are working on a bike path that will go all the way to Armitos Avenue. And this white block right here is our Armitos Park, behind the developed area of Armitos Park. And that's where our community garden will be going. So we are real excited. We're working with a couple different garden organizations that's helping us come up with a plan that we can bring to the commission. And then in addition, it's not just a plan and construction and getting this built. We also have a lot of policies that are going to have to be coming in line with this. And even though we're funding and we really shouldn't be working on this project until July, I have a meeting in a week and a half with the Goleta Water District to talk about water at this site, because that will be a big impact with how we develop that space. Target date for completion of this project is mid 2019, so it'll be late in this fiscal year, so looking about this time next year. So next year is going to be really busy for us. As you can tell, we have just in this update, we have Hollister Kellogg being completed by March of next year, the Community Center Park parcel by June of next year, and this project by June of next year, as well as year four playgrounds. So lots going on, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The Parks Master Plan is also underway. We have our first community workshop that'll take place next Wednesday, June 13th from 6 to 8 at the Goleta Valley Community Center. The marketing for this has been out. Our PIO has put out emails and has it on Facebook and on our city website. So anybody that wants to come talk about the Parks Master Plan, we encourage them to come to the community center from 6 to 8 p.m. next Wednesday, June 13th. We also have stakeholder meetings and focus groups that are happening. So anybody that that has an interest, again, that maybe is with a youth sports organization or does activities in parks and trails and anything else related to our parks and open spaces, those stakeholder meetings, June 12th or June 13th, the ones on June 12th at 3 p.m. or 6 p.m. will be held at the Goleta Valley Community Center. The ones on June 13th at 9, 11:30, or 2 p.m. will be held here at City Hall. And the stakeholder meetings are a little bit more informal. They're smaller groups of people. We're asking anybody that wants to come to a stakeholder meeting that they RSVP to me. They can do that by giving me a call at, now it's 1-805-562-5505, or they can email me at jplummer@cityofgoleta.org and let me know that they'd like to come to one of those. And then we have sent out some invitations to youth groups and some special interest groups. So if you have not received an invitation and you want one, please, please get a hold of me and I would be happy to send you an invitation.
Okay, questions? Go ahead, Commissioner West.
So, sorry. I'm planning on being there, but I was just wondering when our community comes, what exactly are you seeking from them? Because we already have a plan for what is going to be done for the next year. So I was wondering, when you're seeking community input, what is specifically about what?
So we did receive an abundance of community input for the recreation needs assessment, which was the what. What is it that we are missing? The Parks Master Plan is going to be talking to how to facilitate that. So earlier when we were talking about Lake Los Carneros, before we can figure out what to do, we have to have a plan in place. So we know, and we've done a really good job without a plan by getting a lot of projects moving along. But it's a longer term. This is a long-term plan. So it's not just, yes, we still need a recreation center or a swimming pool. It is, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pay for it? We also are going to be confirming that the current needs from the recreation needs assessment are still valid today. And kind of going through that process, where the Parks Master Plan is our how to our what. So the rec needs was, what is missing? What are we lacking? What are we doing good at? And the plan is, how do we get there? How do we make that better? How do we sustain what's good? So everybody's input is going to be valuable and will help us develop this plan that is going to last for quite some time. And we're real excited about it. Does that answer your question?
Very well.
Thank you. And I will confirm with our consultant that we'll have at least one Spanish-speaking person for translation so that we can make sure we're hitting all elements. And that is all I have on updates for you for this meeting. And unless you have any questions, I'm happy to answer on those projects or any other projects that you are feeling you need an update on.
It doesn't look like there are any questions, so we'll go ahead. Thank you, Mrs. Plummer. That was very thorough, and it's going to be an exciting year for the City of Goleta Parks Department.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the director's report. Director Adamidis.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. Building on the excitement and momentum that Ms. Plummer presented you with in the previous presentation, we have a few items to share with you tonight. The first item that we wanted to provide you an update on is the MOVES program. This is the Monarch Overwintering Visual Experience Simulation. You'll recall we discussed this in previous commission meetings. The status on this program right now is the materials for the displays have been created and the orders are being placed. We've got curriculum development underway, and we're also working with the State Department of Fish and Wildlife on that. We have in our next steps a peer review for the curriculum materials, the outreach to schools, and a quote-unquote work party to assemble the exhibits. So we have an intern, Diana Garcia, who has been working very closely with Ms. Plummer in the implementation of this exciting program. We expect it to start in the fall of this year. Roughly, it will be for the overwintering season for the monarchs that roughly starts in October through February. So this is really going to be another exciting effort being put forth for our community. Starting this year, so we're really excited about this. The second item that we had an update for the commission on tonight was, as you may have seen or heard, yesterday the City Council completed their mid-cycle budget review, and we had some budget updates for you related to this effort. So as part of the budget that the Council approved yesterday, this year's budget places 16 capital improvement projects for the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Department. Among those projects are included Fire Station 10, which I believe I've mentioned to the commission before, also renovations to the community center, and also the city's recently acquired future Amtrak train depot station at the end of La Patera, 27 La Patera to be exact, and that's the old Direct Relief International building. So we're excited to see this go forward. I know the council is too. The total budget for park-related projects is roughly $7.4 million. It's a significant contribution and investment from the city in the community for many quality of life improvements. As you saw from the groundbreaking event for the Hollister-Kellogg Park, you could just sense the energy and the excitement from the folks that were there, many residents who were really excited about seeing the park. And it's always exciting to see dirt turned, at a new facility and just kind of envision. You could see people standing there going, I never knew how large the site was. So we're so excited to see that happen. Let me share with you some of the park related capital projects that we have. So obviously at the very top of the list is Hollister-Kellogg Park, the Evergreen Park restrooms. So some of these you've received updates tonight with the corresponding budget notations here for you. The miscellaneous park improvements for the four parks, the community center improvements, the parks master plan, the multi-purpose field at the community center, the Evergreen multi-purpose field, the community garden, the San Miguel Park improvements, and the Santa Barbara Shores Park improvements. So a lot of activity. As you can see, many of these projects will be expected and anticipated to be completed next year. And Evergreen, with the exception, Evergreen is 2 years out, along with San Miguel would be 2020, along with Santa Barbara Shores. So as you can see, not only this year, as you've seen on the calendar of projects that we're pushing on, but also into next year and the year after, and the year beyond. So lots of activity, lots of parks activity, and we're really excited to see this go forward. I know some are not going to believe this, but we are approaching the month of July. And we had just, it seems like we had just talked about this a few months ago, but July is National Parks and Recreation Month. On June 19th at the City Council, we will have an item going to them for them to proclaim July as National Parks and Recreation Month in the city of Goleta. Last year, Ms. Plummer developed a very unique calendar that was really well received by the community. And what that calendar was a calendar of free activities in the city for the community to participate in National Parks and Recreation Month. So we're really excited to see this going on. And this year's national theme is, quote, a lifetime of discovery. So as we heard from the first presentation tonight, to get out and really enjoy the outdoors and really take in all that is unique and special here in Goleta, it's also a way to just improve your health. And so here you have an opportunity right here in Goleta through this national theme to discover Goleta. And this is going to be another exciting time for everybody. We have a number of future agenda items that we want to just keep on the radar of the commission. So we'll continue to provide you updates on capital improvement projects, which we have a number. We also want to keep you informed of the playground project updates. We are also, from the last meeting that we had, there was a request from a member of the public for considering and pursuing the idea of the off-leash dog park request that came to the commission. So we just wanted to make sure that that had not been lost. However, in the mix of all the things that we have going on, and I've been really just trying to schedule and plan these activities going forward with the resources that we have, you know, we wanted to make sure that this was certainly here for you to see that it's on our radar and it has not been lost. We also want to bring to the commission policies for you to consider regarding park use and the community garden. And we also wanted to make sure that you were aware that the joint use agreements with the school districts is also part of our work effort, and we expect to have some updates for you on that soon. So we really are excited about all these new activities and projects that are coming forward. I think the commission will agree that a lot is happening, and we're so pleased to see all these things happening here in Goleta that our residents can you know, be excited about some of these things coming to fruition and completion, and we're just as excited too. Our next meeting will be on August 1st. And after today, we really have three meetings left to finish the year, August 1st, October 3rd, and December 5th. It seems like time is flying by really fast, especially when there's a lot going on. So we wanted to make sure that you knew we had three meetings left in the year. And this concludes my director's report for tonight. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Good. Commissioner West?
I guess I've just been out to lunch. Could you explain a little bit about the Amtrak Goleta station and the I really don't know how to talk about it intelligently. Does it exist yet, or it's in the works, or can you tell us about that? And then it's going to be a City of Goleta.
Correct.
Sponsored.
So the City of Goleta purchased the Direct Relief International building located at 27 South La Patera. It is currently basically a warehouse and which was used for the Direct Relief operation, and they have moved to a new building, a much larger facility. You may have seen it in the news. So the council and the city are interested in seeing that building turned into a future Amtrak, you know, station depot, if you will. And the city did receive some grant funding for this project going forward. So we're really excited. We will be able to provide you some further updates since literally we just took ownership just very, very recently. So we're happy to come back to you and give you some more detail on that, but it's exciting. And we're certainly, you know, just thrilled to see all these activities and investments being made by the council and the community that I think everyone's going to be really happy about.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I loved the calendar from last year, the Parks and Rec July calendar. I was just going to say there's an opportunity to cheat a little bit and maybe coordinate with the Healthy People, Healthy Trails calendar. So any gaps that you might have, you could just fill in from there.
Right.
But hopefully there are some of those in the Goleta area, not just Santa Barbara.
Okay, great. With that, if there are no other questions, I will adjourn the meeting. Okay, the meeting is adjourned.
Oh, it's a long, long time from May to December. But the days grow short when you reach September. When the autumn weather